live to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it's articles of news, what seems like for the last month, because we're real good at it. It's me, Richie T, and look, it's Molly Jenny.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Is this the first time since you've been wed that you're here?
Yes.
Right? Officially wed.
Yeah. Last time I was here, I was engaged and planning on getting married. So that was like February or early March.
You had to have been here before then, because we talked about you having a home in Provo and a home in Murray.
Yeah, that was part of the planning and everything.
That's miserable.
Yep.
Is that over?
My home in Provo is under contract, and
yes.
I live in Murray.
Should have had a realtor, just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, the sin of commission. Love that billboard for, what is it, Homie?
Homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did yours online.
Yeah.
Good experience? Recommend it?
Yeah. So far, it's really been good when all is said and done. Today's the due diligence deadline.
Right.
So that's, because it was under contract before and the buyers backed out. And I was like, wait, what?
You can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
Is the other person represented by a realtor?
Yes.
See, because I feel like that's what you'd have to do, right? Like one mm-hmm. side has to have a realtor. Otherwise, it's a bunch of people pretending to play sell a house.
Well, the first person that put an offer in also was with Homie, just
right.
By themselves. And
right.
Again, didn't work, but
yeah,
good.
All right. So going to sell that house, living
yep.
in Murray,
mm-hmm.
husband and a couple kids?
Stepson.
Stepson.
Lives with, my stepson.
And then your bweet, bweet kids lives mm-hmm. down in Provo still.
So they live most of the time in Mapleton, which is south of Provo.
But it's still the same schools.
So
that
they
stuff,
can
right?
still go to their schools in Provo. Yeah, it's a lot closer.
How different is that for you?
It is really different. It's a lot. It's a lot of change that's happened in the last month or so since.
Is that okay? Because I know, like, if ever there were a mom that was so involved in her kid's life, not to say that you're not now. So don't.
Right. Yeah. No.
Don't place words, but you're not. You know, you're not in their face, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's a big change of identity and role and just action, I guess. So the way it works is
because for people who don't know, Murray to Mapleton is like 45 minutes.
It
right?
is.
So
yeah.
It's not like, hey, mom, can you come to the school?
Right. Which I got that phone call from the school when my son was acting up like the second week. You didn't. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. That never gets old.
Never does. Rob, a DJ. No idea.
I didn't know. But yeah, and they're like, you know, Jenny, it's Tanya. I'm like, hi. She's like, you know, he's lying on the floor. I'm like, oh. And she's like, can you come over? I'm like, no, I live in Salt Lake now.
Like, he's acting out like he's sick?
No, he has a thing. It's a behavioral thing.
Is he mad?
He's
because I was that mad kid when my parents got divorced. I was the
this was before the divorce. This is just a thing.
Mm-hmm. I stuck what do you call it? Gum wrappers into electrical sockets.
Oh, what?
Yeah. That will fry a whole circuit of a school.
Holy crap. That's a big deal.
Why?
Okay, like the metal one? Like the ones with metal on one side?
Yeah.
Oh.
We used to make little like little prongs, like sockets.
Naturally.
You couldn't hold them with your finger, though.
Nope.
You had to put them in the top end of a pen.
Oh, my gosh.
Seventh grade. My parents are divorced. They hate each other. I had to go to the principal's office with me. I was in student government, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, we think that this is unbecoming behavior of a student government officer. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
What are you gonna do?
So not like that.
No, no, okay. Not like that. It was a different thing. And he's in fifth grade.
Okay.
But yeah, so the way it works is, my husband and I had some talks with...
Now you're talking about your ex-husband or your husband-husband?
My husband.
I get so confused.
I know. I have all these husbands.
What am I going to do with all these husbands?
So, yeah, we had a talk with my ex and his wife just, you know, about how this is going to work from a practical standpoint.
Uh-huh.
And I talked with my kids, which, surprise, surprise, they're like, we don't want to move.
Right.
You know, I mean,
kids
for kids, it's vital, right? These social connections that they've got. And so
was there ever a temptation to not move then and have your husband move down to Provo?
Well,
or is that an impossibility?
Well, we thought about that, too. You know, I mean, you know where he lives, and he works downtown.
Right.
Which, it's not impossible, for sure. But
I drove from Springville further than Provo to downtown
Salt
Lake.
Yes, you did.
Because I loved her.
Oh. Oh, shoot. I wish I had a violin.
If you loved me, you would do that.
Dun-dun-dun.
Was often the plea.
So the other factor here, not that children are factors, but my children, my stepson. He's an adult. He's 22, and he has autism pretty severely, and he lives with us full time. And because he just turned 22, in Utah, there's a 4-year post high school program that's offered that he just aged out of, and so already, in the short time that my husband and I have been married, my stepson has gone through a lot of changes just with his schedule. He doesn't go to school anymore. He goes to his community program all day. I just had a meeting with some vocational rehabilitation specialists who have been taking him to different businesses around the area to see if there's a place he can have a job.
Cool.
And so he's got a lot of change and, you know, ahead of him. And being that his autism is what it is, the more structure and, you know, kind of streamlined stability without changes.
And probably those services are a little bit better in Salt Lake County than they are in Utah County.
I don't know that that's the case, other than that for our purposes, he's used to the community program,
right.
You know, to keep that consistency, to keep that familiarity. It's better, I mean, because they're available in Utah County.
Sure.
It's just that would be one more change, and to change, you know, his actual physical home and then the neighborhood. You know, these are people who grew up with him and they know. Because if you just see him, I mean, I've been in places in public with him where, you know, someone will come up and be like, hey, man, because he doesn't talk, I should say, too. He's nonverbal. And so, you know, people just think he just looks like a regular guy just listening to his, you know, has his earbuds in and he doesn't talk. So it's important to have kind of a network of understanding around him. It's not impossible to have that in Utah County.
It's the thing you did.
But yeah, so we decided, I mean, my kids are lucky in that they have another set of really involved, loving parents.
Cool.
And so from my standpoint, too.
You tell them you're lucky. You're lucky you've got another set.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know how many parents you have that love you? Some people don't even have any parents who love them. So
there are starving kids for parents in Asia.
So yeah, and I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, there are, my younger three are.
That's hard. I can tell.
Man,
just hearing
it really
you explain
is. It really
you're just
is.
Like, this makes sense on paper, but
I know.
Guess what doesn't
and
feel
I say,
good?
And I say it out loud, too, because I sometimes have to remind myself, you know, like when it comes to it, I don't think it's best to split up the kids.
Sure.
There are Mandarin dual immersion programs where I live.
Because that was part of the equation, too.
Exactly. Because my younger three are in that program, and that's like a years long commitment.
Yeah.
But the other thing is too, my oldest graduated. She goes to UVU now.
Yeah.
But the other one,
she out living on her own?
No, she lives with dad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And she works at So Delicious.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yep. Making the bars.
Uh-huh. And
my mom doesn't do it anymore. I'm gonna do it. Carry in that banner through it all.
But the other one, she'll be 16 in a couple weeks, and she's the one. I think I alluded to it last time I was here, but she's fine with me saying it now. But she has anorexia, and which you know. And almost a year ago, she was hospitalized for almost a week, and then she was in inpatient treatment twice in the past year. And so she's learned a lot about her triggers and her anxiety, and. And that was kind of the final, like, yeah, I can't make her move. Like
right.
I think I really believe that would interfere with her recovery.
Right.
So she's staying at her school, and that's what they're doing.
You are a big person. You recognize this, right? Not as in hefty, but like, I think there are some people that just be like, no, I'm taking my kids with me, and you're coming with me right now.
Thanks.
Hard.
Really hard.
Pained.
Yeah. But best for, well, I don't even know if
and
best,
I think
best
your, and
is
I think your
word,
kids will appreciate it, right? Like, I hope they mature to the point that they look back at it and go, man, that was a pretty big sacrifice for mom.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that love sacrifice, right? Where it's like, because she loved me a lot.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I hope so. Please bless. We'll see.
Yeah, please bless. Hashtag please bless.
So my schedule consists of 2 days a week. I drive to Provo. I pick them up from school. We go to the library. We do homework. We go to the rec center. We play. we go to dinner, and then I take them back to their dad's, and then come back up.
And then weekends?
And then every other weekend.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Is it kind of an awesome break, though, a little bit? Like, is it a rediscovering of yourself, too?
Well, I mean, there was some of that, too, after my divorce.
Right.
You know, because they all of a sudden were gone for a
some
day
of the time,
or
yeah.
some days or whatever. So I don't know that it's that. I don't know. I don't know that it's an awesome break.
Yeah.
It's a new discovery period for sure, because then there's also...
What are you discovering?
Oh, man.
Are you working?
I just got let go from the contract that I was doing with, like, monthly writing content for a local business.
Hmm.
So...
I'll pick you up at theculturalhall.com.
Thank you.
Once a month you can write.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the deadlines are lax,
mm-hmm.
but so is the pay.
Oh, okay,
and by
good.
The pay
so
is lax, I mean the pay lax.
Oh, I get it. I see what you did there.
See, zero pay.
See, because, yeah.
Well, so, I'm sorry to hear that. Is that good? Is it on to greener pastures?
It's this thing where, like, once I sell my house, I'll probably go back to school so I can buy a degree, because any, you know, here I'm 40, right? And
right.
I have... I'm really good at what I do, and I can't even get in a lot of doors because I don't have a degree.
Right. Which is lame.
It's super lame, and it's highly frustrating.
Right. And especially when you're going and competing against a 22 or 23-year-old kid who's like, I've got a degree, and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But have you ever? And they're like, listen, the degree, they've got a piece of paper that right. says they paid for school.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They paid for school, and they went through it, and that's awesome. And you know, with social media content and marketing, I've been a part of the space since
it began, since before those kids were even
I'm
born.
I'm older than the internet, children.
When they weighed an Instagram.
And I mean, I have a lot to learn still, but that's sure. what I love about this space is that it's evolving, and I just really like it a lot.
I'm going to a conference in March or February. You should come with me.
Which is it?
Social media marketing world.
Marketing World. Yeah, in San Diego. That's
yeah.
a very good conference.
Have you been?
I haven't. We were going to go this March, and we got married instead.
Okay. Come with me next March.
Yeah. I just spoke with the guy who runs it.
Michael Stelzner?
Yes.
Shut up.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you talk to him for?
I'm jealous. It was during...
This has nothing to do with Mormon stuff,
no.
but this is a side jump.
It was at a... party during CVX Live.
Okay.
Yeah, just over at the Hilton, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pick up that name you dropped. Hang it.
I didn't drop it. I forgot it. Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Shoot. No, he's a great guy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really good guy.
If I listen to other podcasts, his might be one that I listen to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm going to go out. I'm investing in myself.
I was going to say, it's a good investment as far as social media conferences go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one to go
I'm
to.
Investing in myself.
Excellent.
Putting a little back in the pot, sharpening the saw, if you will.
You'll have more to give when
yeah.
you fill up your bucket.
Well, I can, I can't lift anyone to higher ground if I myself am not on higher ground.
Amazing.
It mattered to this one, Chuck Starfish.
Oh my gosh. It matters to
I made
this
that reference
one.
To someone the other day, and they're uh-huh. like, huh? And I was like, never mind, Mormon
was that,
thing.
Was that, yeah, okay.
Remember
that,
the, you know, the guy on the beach, and he walks up to the kid who's
That wasn't during
starfish.
Monica's interview, was it?
What?
Was it during Monica Morse?
I can't remember. Was it?
Know.
No, it was during Tom. No, it was a. It was with Thomas McConkie the last episode.
That's right.
246.
Yes, I started listening.
I think
to
I made a reference to it, and then
and
later
he was like,
I explained
wait,
it to him. He's like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So maybe back to school, being married. You like it? You like being married?
I do.
Yeah.
I do like being
tough,
married.
Tough though, right?
I'll tell you what. I'll take this and run with it. I know why the divorce rate for second marriages is so high.
Right.
It is so much work.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's intense.
Because it's essentially now, I mean, let me venture a little
Please.
Bit down that. I think it's it typically with second marriages, you have time duration, right? Which I think whether you're single or whether you've been married before, to be an older, more stubborn person or
mm-hmm.
more set in your ways, right? Time just in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think plays a part of that. But then you also have triggers from,
yes.
like, you could do something that your now husband's ex-wife did
yep.
that your motivation is completely different,
mm-hmm.
but it feels similar to what he's experienced previously and just, yeah. I can't believe you did that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I find myself doing that just in dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, you've got two people who lived essentially... complete other lifetimes, with other people.
Right.
And then...
Because you were married how long?
I was married 17 years.
And he was married...
20.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, lifetimes.
Lifetimes, like created families. That fractured. And then we each had our own season of becoming, like you said, like independent, like really good at being independent
right.
people, right? And really, yeah, really skilled in our own ways. And then even with dating for, I think, longer than a lot of typical Mormon couples, even second marriage.
Like what, 18 months?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and it, you know, I mean, we really went into it kind of trying as much as we could with our eyes open, like, this is not going to be easy.
Right.
We have all these factors, like, will this even work? And, you know, and even with all that, oh my gosh, like, how many times is it like I'm saying, oh my gosh, I'm not her, and he's saying, whoa, hold it, I'm not him, like you said, because of the triggers.
Yeah.
And it isn't even if it's something that I do that his ex used to do or vice versa. It's if I do something that I do something and he hears something different, or he
right.
says something and I think he's saying something he's not. And anyway, everyone, go to therapy is what I mean. Feelings doctors are your friends. I mean, you know, because for us, I mean, it was just like, we, you know, we think like that's a really smart investment because we want to get ahead of the curve for a lot of these inevitable difficulties, which is, I mean, it's real life. And yeah, that's the deal. That's how it goes. But it's lovely. And I've been networking with like the Zumba instructors up here so
yeah.
that I can.
So you're going to start teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, teaching up here. And yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Okay. Anything else? Going anywhere fun?
Going in a few weeks to, what did I just say to you?
Kauai.
Kauai? Kauai, yeah.
What are you going to Kauai for?
My stepdaughter's getting married there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be there.
Just because Kauai is the place?
She's always wanted a...
destination place?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Dad has to pay for it. Faces. If faces could be seen in an audio show. Yeah. Not yeah. cheap.
Uh-uh.
But Dad's going to do it because that's what you do, Dad.
That's what you do when you're a dad and you love your daughter.
Gorgeous. Kauai is gorgeous. Do you know where on Kauai?
Poipu... Beach was a part of a thing in
Poipu?
Is that what it's called? I
could
think.
Be.
But there's a garden there. I'm sure people who are listening to this who are familiar with it are like, oh my gosh, it's blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Garden. But that's where the wedding is. There's like a luau the night before.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think she's getting married at these gardens. And yeah, we'll be there I think for 9 days.
Oh my gosh.
So,
that's too bad. That's unfortunate.
I know. It's really sad.
It's a rough... Is it going to be a big wedding? Do you have
no.
big destination weddings?
No, it's not.
Because I feel like that's a luau for eight.
Right, yeah. It won't be a very big... I don't know that it can be. I think I remember her talking a while back about how there are some people that... She's like, not that I want to not invite people, but there are, like, restrictions. I mean, costs aside, you know, the
sure.
bigger the party, the bigger...
Because I feel like
right?
that's the restriction right
but,
there.
But I think depending on where you get married, like, they're like, no, you have to limit it. Like, 75 bodies, that's it.
Great.
So, yeah.
It's the way
so
to
small.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do destination if I ever decide to get married again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we are getting married this date in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Love to have you.
If you can make it.
If you can make it, great. And if you can't... I know you're not, it's nothing personal.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Catch you when we get back and we'll have a big barbecue or a big ice cream social.
Yeah. 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 So we got married in the Temple Knackle.
Mm-hmm.
We got,
down in Provo.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly our family.
Right.
We had just a handful of friends, but it was mainly family.
Yeah. I know I was invited, but unable to go.
You were in Hawaii that
yeah.
day, actually. Yeah.
yeah.
And
otherwise, I'm sure I would have been able to witness for sure.
Yeah, you would have been one.
You
would have been one.
You can make that invitation now because it's in the past, and you don't have to
awesome.
Back it up with anything.
No, you're correct.
Yeah, no.
We would ask you to be the sealer.
Yeah.
And whether you say yes or no,
yeah,
is your prerogative.
No, listen, it's not. Yeah.
Sure. And then afterwards, we had lunch at Pizzeria 712, and that was it. Like
cool.
no reception, and it was just.
Oh, but it's also second marriage, right?
Mm-hmm. But we would if we didn't have kids, we would have eloped.
Yeah,
I mean, right?
Because why? Because it. Which is, I think, is so funny because I feel like that should be the attitude about first marriage so much. But
I know.
But the marketing machine behind first weddings for people,
yes.
Kudos and brilliance. And I'm, you know, I reap the benefit as well as DJ yes. Rob too, right?
Right.
Oh, you need a DJ? Do mm-hmm. I? I guess I do. Everyone yeah. says I need a DJ. You uh-huh. bet.
You need the best DJ around.
Cha-ching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we went to Italy, which. I haven't been here, so I haven't told you, but we went to the site of the Italy Temple.
Nice, which is gorgeous. And correct me if I'm wrong, which I know I'm not, but it's like a whole plaza of Mormon stuff, right?
I don't know, because there was a big chain link fence around it. We weren't allowed on the property.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even with the muckety muck status of your
they don't care over there.
Oh, no.
They don't give. I mean, it's the
who's it is?
It's their construction workers, and they're like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And we totally intentionally played dumb, oh, are we not supposed to be here? Yeah. Shoot.
What?
Where did we wander? And they're like, get out. Get out. And so they have one little area where two cars can pull into, and there's a window, take your pictures here.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put those on the Instagram if
yes,
you want.
Yes, please.
But yeah. But it's coming along. But that was back in April.
There's the temple mm-hmm. in Rome.
That's Rome. The one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the one we're talking about,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's the temple that's there, but then also there will be residences for those who will be the president and
matron. That makes sense. Yeah.
And also missionary residences. And then if I understand correctly, too, there will be places that members of the church can rent.
Can stay when they're
doing a temple trip. Can stay when they go there. So like a hotel, kind
yep,
of.
Smart.
But it's a way so people traveling to Rome
can
affordably coordinate and be able to go to the temple.
Smart. And lucky them, there's an IKEA right there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. They can have all their rooms with a flicknick and a zoom duck.
Blurg.
Has anybody seen my flug?
Speaking of which,
I'm missing a screw for my flug.
Are you furnishing the homesteadman with IKEA?
No. You know what? The house is so small it doesn't need furniture. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Uh-huh.
My painters come for my final touch-ups tomorrow.
That's a big deal.
And then, moving the cable over,
mm-hmm.
doing the stuff and the things.
Yep. And the upstairs and the downstairs and the
downstairs is not even close. Still
yep.
needs to be demolished. But moving the woman who lives in the basement will move upstairs to the master,
mm-hmm.
and then my girlfriend will move into the smaller bedroom upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll start demolishing the basement.
Yeah.
So TBD as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah, I don't really know. There's room for a couch, and I've already got a kitchen table because mom is moving.
Oh.
And. So then that takes care of the majority of it because they'll bring their own, the girl who lives downstairs already
right.
has a bed, so she'll furnish her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then my girlfriend has her own furnishings as well, so she'll furnish that room. So I don't have to worry about anything but the main room, and so it's a couch.
That's
maybe,
great.
Maybe a settee.
Sure. A fainting couch, yeah. A chaise.
Is that a chaise? not too much. It seems so far in the distance, even though it's relatively soon.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's been pretty much my life, doing a bunch of DJ stuff with and also without DJ Rob, and then just working on my house mm-hmm. constantly.
You have a big trip coming up?
No. I burned all my vacation days smart this year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Cedar City a couple weeks ago, and I saw some more of the Shakespeare Festival.
Mm.
But I have one more vacation day for the rest of 2017.
Make it good.
Because I always get to December. My days don't roll over at my work.
Oh.
And so I get 20 days a year.
Yeah.
And my days don't roll over, so I get to Christmas time, and then it's great. So here it is, the coldest time in Utah,
mm-hmm.
and anyway, so I just burned them all while the weather was good.
Smart.
And I'll use one when I just don't feel like coming to work. I'll call them right before I'm not coming.
Forget it.
Forget
Do it
you
without
guys.
Me.
But I'll come up with a couple of pictures that I'll share in the next week or so as everything gets done and sort of moved in at the homesteadman. Hashtag the Homesteadman if you want to see it.
That's such a brilliant hashtag.
I know.
Wow.
Who came up with, you know, there's another guy who thinks that he came up with it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is
well,
it you?
Because he did. It was his suggestion, but I think timeline, you came up with it first.
Nice. I just can't believe that, like, it wasn't.
Like an automatic.
Yeah.
I know. I get it.
That's fine.
I missed the obvious underneath my nose.
That's fine.
How about this? Because I came up with this, and this leads into the emails. I'm going to share a couple emails.
Okay.
This one from Dr. Paul White.
I like that dude.
He says, Richie, I've changed my mind, and I now semi-enjoy the Mormon News Report.
Aw.
He says he likes that it's part of the Cultural Hall podcast. I know, it's a show. I agree that it should not be part of the Lifer with Pioneer stock requirements. However, what about having it as part of... And this is where I had come up with this idea previously, and Dr. Paul White just confirmed it to me as a Catholic gentleman. You call it the people's triple combination. I just thought triple combination.
Uh-huh.
But we'll have the articles of news, the interviews, and the Mormon News Report. It says, peace from a Catholic lifer with Pioneer Stock, Dr. Paul White.
Awesome.
So that's what we'll do it. I know that another email that I'll share here in a second. A guy doesn't necessarily like it. Here's the deal. Oh. You don't have to like it. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can download it and then bloop, bloop, done. Like it's on your TiVo. Bloop, bloop. Do kids even know what a TiVo is anymore?
See, kids, it used to be you set your VCR with a tape.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then, like, if you recorded, like, two or three times on the same thing, that then... like the tape would be sort of
Like scratchy.
Shady and hazy, scratchy, and you're like, suck.
Yeah,
I gotta get a new tape. Mm-hmm. And then if you set the tape on the right stand setting, you could get 2 hours out of the tape.
Yeah.
And it would be really
SLP,
crappy.
Super long play.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is from Andrew. He says, hello, weeks ago on the show you said that the Mormon News Report would no longer be part of the feed, but it's still there. Would you please look into this? Andrew, it's staying. Sorry.
Yep.
We weren't initially going to, but I talked to Brant. We had sort of some side conversations, and with the introduction of the triple combination, I think we will keep it. But if you don't like it, don't listen to it. Simple as that. That's the best thing about on demand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this.
You can turn it off.
Done.
Yeah.
So thank you, Andrew. Let's see. There was a couple other emails that I wanted to share. This one I'll share when we come back. Because it's serious. It's not for this time.
That's fine.
Let's see. This one from Nancy. She says, sharing you with what I wrote to BYU Radio. She says, on the program today, Act Your Age, which is a BYU radio program. She really likes it. They said they are finding out that artificial sweeteners are worse for people than sugar. By the way, I'll read any email that you send to contact@theculturalhall.com. Let me just preface this.
Obviously. just kidding.
So now we go on with Nancy's email. She says, I have no doubt. Now I learn that they are putting aspartame in some vaccines. Some vaccines also have aborted fetal tissue, which is putting that fetus DNA into the one receiving the vaccine. Being injected with another person's DNA puts that individual at risk for DNA damage. Oh, and I learned that they also put formaldehyde, which is poison in most vaccines, which is not to mention they're being laced with heavy metals and other toxins. The new vaccines being given within 24 hours of birth is hepatitis B, which is totally unnecessary because babies are not at risk. The vaccine is a neural toxin given to a developing brain. The MMR vaccine leaves traceable damage, causing autism in some children. The neural damage from the hepatitis B vaccine can't be traced to those that are born, and the damage continues because the toxins are not easily removed from the body. I also understand that vaccines only last a few years, not a formal, normal lifetime. I would love for BYU Radio, or you guys, to do a program on vaccines.
Okay, Nancy, if we do a program on vaccines, you're not going to like what I have to say.
Yeah.
Promise you that. I've lobbied on Capitol Hill for...
Have you really?
In Washington, D.C. Yes, I have.
Didn't know that.
Yes, I have. I was one of the...
So do they cause Asperger's? Let's talk about that.
Why do they cause autism? Well, that's why everyone's walking around with poison in their blood instead of polio, which is what we really want. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I've lobbied on Capitol Hill. I was one of 10 national ambassadors. I was in the ambassador circle for United Nations Foundation's Shot at Life campaign.
So is it just folks that like to incite things? Is that why it continues to be an issue?
That's some of it. It's also,
I feel like on some level, some bizarre study or something, like there has to be at least a morsel of truth to something that she said there. Otherwise, I don't feel like people can just be like, a totally bogus idea? I'm on board.
Right. I think that, what people need to talk more about is herd immunity, which is that there are people who have autoimmune diseases and disorders which make it, which put them at higher risk for catching diseases. Mm-hmm. Because of that, people who don't have those autoimmune issues ought to be vaccinated to protect the herd. That's the deal. And do vaccines work 100%? No. Hmm. My kids, of course, they're all up to date on their vaccines. And my daughter, who's now 18, when she was, I think, 16, got pertussis. Mm-hmm. Went to Moab with, you know, her young women group for a fall break and came back and had whooping cough because someone else didn't vaccinate their kid.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's this whole thing. So are there points to be made? It depends on what the point is, right, in, you know, anti-vaxxers. However, the bigger point is you super don't want polio. So why don't you just think about what you're saying?
Right.
So.
All right.
Yeah. But that's great.
Let's take a break for a second. We'll come back. Okay. We'll do actual articles of news. And I've got one more email I want to share.
Okay, great.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. Dear Dan, I keep hearing your ads talking about free virus and malware scans on any brand of desktop or laptop PC. I think you're trying to pull one over on us. We know nothing is free. We're not that naive out there in the real world. Signed, No Free Lunch. Dear No Free Lunch, we mean it. We really will scan your computer for malware and spyware for free. We know that if you have a great experience with us, you'll be so impressed that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. So bring in your computer, no matter what brand of PC it is, to any one of our locations right now for a free virus and malware and spyware scan. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Say goodbye to your malware and spyware. No free lunch. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I'm actually going to read an email first. I just wanted to not have to search for that in editing, so I wanted to do that very first. I'm a little lazy, okay?
No, but it's fine. Do what you got.
I'm going to keep it anonymous because I don't know that he/she said that I could share this. Although I know he/she, let's just say he, I'm done doing that.
Okay, great.
Knows that I typically share most of the emails. It says, hello. I listened to the episode that you did with Shawnee last week on my way home from class. That's episode number 245. Talks about perfect is boring, eating disorders, social pressure from social media. Mm-hmm. He says, and I've been marinating on mental illness in the church and society in general since then. I wanted to reach out and mention some of my thoughts and issue a warning. This may be a little long-winded as I'm trying to articulate all of my thoughts into words. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember feeling anxious about nothing. I can clearly picture in my mind's eye attending Sunrise Elementary and worrying excessively over things that a grade schooler
needn't worry about. I would worry so much that hives would break out on my neck and that my teacher would send me to the main office to get checked out and ultimately get called home to my parents in order for them to come get me. I didn't understand that it wasn't normal to feel excessively sad at any given moment, especially in the wintertime. And it wasn't until I was in ninth grade at Indian Hills Middle School that all of this came to a breaking point. I'd come to the conclusion that I wanted to commit suicide because I felt so sad that I would cry uncontrollably for no reason at all. There weren't any crazy circumstances in my life, like my parents getting cancer or death, that spurred my emotions. Middle school is hard enough without having to keep emotions in so as to not appear weak or girly. While these perceptions of me wouldn't really affect me now, back then in middle school, I believed that most kids succumbed to the pressures of, quote, being normal and or being popular. Being out of the ordinary would only make kids an easy target. At least that was my perception. Anyway, I had come to the conclusion to commit suicide. I even started planning how I would do it in my head. Fortunately for me, my sister figured out what I was going to do, as I could never lie to her, and she got my mom. They essentially talked me down, quote, as I explained why I felt sad and worried all the time. I remembered as I was doing so, I was physically shaking in my bed. Little did I know then that this was a full-blown anxiety attack, and it wouldn't be the last time I felt this way. My family thought that this was just a, quote, low point for me, and we therefore didn't seek out counseling, medication, or anything like that. High school couldn't have treated me better, and I didn't really have any issues there, with the exception of my parents getting divorced the day after I graduated, but even then, I was able to maintain a positive attitude through my freshman year in college. It was on my mission, starting in the MTC, that the same old feelings came back, stripping any semblance of happiness that was trying to peek through. Since I was learning Spanish, I was in the Provo MTC for 2 months, which, to be fair, would make anyone.
Oh my gosh.
No? Let's move on. Since I was in the Provo MTC for 2 months, about a month in, I had another episode, and the MTC presidency allowed me to call my dad. He was able to convince me to stay in the MTC and to stay on my mission. Flash forward a year into my mission, and I had another breakdown. I was with one of my Latino companions, and it was a Saturday. We went out and started trying to work when I started crying for no reason at all. I had had little episodes prior to this, but this was the worst. Fortunately, I was in contact with the area's mission psychologist and was able to call him. From that point, it was decided that I would travel outside of my mission to an LDS psychiatrist who prescribed me two different pills, half of an SSRI and a quarter of an anti-anxiety med every day. I continued this regimen until my last transfer when the pills ran out and I came home. Looking back on my mission, I don't think I was a very effective missionary due to my mental illness, but I was stubborn as heck. I could have come home, and if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have opted to come home. It was so hard to get out of bed sometimes and work. I had companions that were less than sympathetic who would tell me to buck up or get over it. I recognize that my story isn't unusual, but I do feel that my mission president may have been more concerned with having the, quote, manpower in order to cover all the areas of the mission rather than the overall health of the missionaries. After all, he did not understand the feeling of wanting the ground to open up and swallow you rather than go on living. I recognize that this may be a harsh criticism, but this is how I feel. I returned home from my mission, finished up college, got married in the mix, and in 2014, I had had enough of the breakdowns, the crippling feelings of sadness and depression, and I finally started seeing a therapist. I then eventually got on Zoloft and am taking those pills consistently until present day. It took me 14 years of my life to get to this point, and all I can say is I wish I would have come to the place I'm at now much sooner. I still have low days and anxiety attacks, but they are fewer and less severe. I guess my hope was to inform your listeners of a man's struggle with depression, someone who is a worthy priesthood holder, an active member of the church, but also to let them know that it's okay to feel a little broken. Sometimes we have those issues, but thankfully there are doctors and means to make those broken things whole again. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. There's actually something on LDS.org right now about mental illness on their, I think, the newsroom homepage, maybe?
Yeah.
And it's the link to the video highlighting Elder Holland's like a broken vessel.
A couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he gave the talk about depression, it was October 2013.
Was it really that long ago?
Yes.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
Mm-hmm. But it's important to talk about. So thanks for sending that email.
Yeah, awesome. And maybe I'll get, I'll say his name, Ryan. Maybe I'll get Ryan to do an episode. Because I think that would be an empowering episode for those of us who maybe feel...
Yeah.
And there's who feel that way. And you're not alone. That's the thing.
Even though right now you're on your own. Just kidding.
So, you are loved in ways that can't be shown, right?
I know. You're welcome.
Volleyball I caught it. Was up there.
I caught it.
Smack.
He covers a lot of things, too. Mission presidents coming home early, all sorts of things. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. That's important stuff. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. So thank you. Let's do some articles of news. You want to start?
Sure.
I've got a ream of paper of news, literally, because we haven't done this in a while. So you go.
Okay. First and foremost, the Culture Hall, we send our condolences to Evie Claire. America's Got Talent, Christina Perry, and Ella Henderson all sent their love to Evie Claire and her family after the 13-year-old posted on social media about her father's death.
I need to know who Evie Claire is. I know, but...
Okay, Evie Claire is the 13-year-old who is a current contestant.
Finalist contestant.
Finalist, yes, on America's Got Talent. She's a singer. She lives in Arizona. She's done very well, and she's a nice girl. Her mom's very... Nice.
Super talented, right?
Yeah, like, she's legit a good singer. I'm very critical of this stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know...
You don't like most things as far as this kind of stuff.
Well, it's not that I don't like most things. It's like, I don't like music because it's a Mormon singing it.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, whatever. But
if she's good, I'll give her
her
dues.
And she's very talented and a hard worker also. Claire tweeted that she was able to be by her father's side before he died. September 7th, Amos Ablanap died after a year and a half battle with stage 4 colon cancer.
Ugh.
On Thursday, September 7th. Claire also posted a tribute to her father on Instagram, thanking him for, quote, being such a great example of faith and strength, unquote, as he battled cancer over the past year and a half. I'll miss you so much, Daddy, she wrote. Thanks for teaching me to love salsa and chicken wings and most of all the Lord. Love you lots.
Chicken wings. I mean the Lord, too, but... Mm.
But chicken wings, right?
But chicken wings. Are you kidding me right now?
Claire's mother, Hillary, posted her husband's obituary on her blog on September 9th and wrote that Claire's experience on America's Got Talent was a great comfort to Amos during his fight against cancer. Just as Amos learned of his cancer diagnosis, his daughter, Evie Claire, was invited to audition for the show America's Got Talent, the obituary stated. Her musical talents, bright spirit, and love for her father propelled her forward in the show. She made it to the finals the night before her father passed away. He lived his last few months seeing his daughter's dreams play out, and it was the highlight of his life. Amos affected many in his life for good through his kindness, humility, wisdom, and service. To know Amos was to love him. His faith in God and great love for his family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers inspired many. So our love to them. Good family.
This, if you're in Ephraim, Utah, this weekend, two live dinner shows... You can see Porter Rockwell. Now,
I can see like the light reflecting through your paper, so I can see that.
I am 99% sure that this is not the real Porter Rockwell.
Probably not.
But you can go to the PorterRockwellExperience.com if you're anywhere in the central part of the state of Utah to check this out. It's in Ephraim. Attendees will have the opportunity to enjoy a delicious Dutch oven dinner and hear Porter Rockwell. Again, it says Porter Rockwell. It doesn't say someone being... You know, portraying Porter Rockwell as he shares the stories of his life and adventures. And you know what? Cow Camp Catering is providing the meal.
Amazing. They're very good.
I've heard that. Then there's this. The Standard Examiner, which is a Northern Utah newspaper.
Is that it?
Nope, that's not my story.
Great, okay.
I'm excited to hear that one.
Yes.
Launched a new project this week called My Black Name Tag, and it seeks to document how the call to serve a mission impacts individuals and communities. For many members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, going on a mission is a rite of passage and an essential part of being a good member of the church. As such, it is a huge part of LDS culture and has a large influence on life in Utah, where members of the church remain a majority of the population. With this project, they want to especially initiate conversations about the challenges and the opportunities that missionary work provides and examine how this important part of Mormon culture influences the broader community. Their goal, they said, is not to promote or make the church look good, nor is it to attack the church, missionary work, or Mormon culture. Their goal is to provide a safe, open place where people feel free to openly share their personal experiences and where we can examine the influence of this part of the church in a fair, in an objective way. So people can go and submit their stories at myblacknametag.com.
Interesting.
They'll be posting anonymous submissions because they recognize the stories that they're asking for are deeply personal. Sometimes these stories have never been shared, even with close loved ones. But these are formative experiences and in many ways very relatable. The struggles and triumphs will help us all understand each other better. MyBlackNameTag.com.
Sweet. And is that up right now or it's something that's going
it's
to launch?
It's available now.
All right. Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Also from the Standard Examiner.
This, which is a newspaper up north
in northern Utah. Mormon women's group dives into civic engagement in the wake of Trump's election. Soon after President Donald Trump's inauguration in January, a small group
Did
of...
Did you just swallow? Do you have a hard... Was that comedic?
I can't.
Okay.
Yeah. A small group of Mormon women privately discussed their mutual concerns about where the nation was headed. But none of them dreamed those conversations would launch an activist organization that quickly attracted thousands of members. I call myself an accidental activist, Charlie Mullins Glenn, founder of Mormon Women for Ethical Government, said of the role that now consumes a large chunk of her time. The Pleasant Grove author of children's books initially started a closed Facebook group where she and some close friends could air their distress. In her welcome letter on MWEG's website, Mullins Glenn said, "These are strange times. Many of us are reeling, aghast at what is happening, dismayed, if not horrified, by what we are hearing on the news and reading in the headlines each day." Mullins Glenn urged members to get in the fight using the tools of kindness and civility, echoing the advice of former First Lady Michelle Obama.
I like all this.
"When they go low, we go high." "We wanted to express our frustration with Trump's unethical behavior, words, and actions," Glenn said of the group's 15 to 20 initial participants. Those individuals soon added friends to the closed group, who in turn added more friends. Within days, we had hundreds of members, and within 2 weeks, 4,000. It snowballed and touched a nerve out there. And I'll check to see what it's at now. The nonpartisan group flourishes on social media by...
What's it called again?
MWEG, Mormon Women for Ethical Government.
Okay.
The nonpartisan group flourishes on social media by encouraging well-founded discussion of issues that carry human impact. But they draw a bright line at vitriol and name-calling, tactics that are absolutely not tolerated. Instead, kindness and civility rule the day, and participants are urged to listen to understand, not to win the argument. "We're sort of schooling ourselves in being able to talk to each other in that way. In today's political environment, there is so much name-calling and people are getting angry," Mullins Glenn said, "and it's counterproductive. We don't do things that way." The group relies on six principles of nonviolence that guided both Mohandas Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. Those include choosing love over hate and striving to defeat justice. Defeat injustice. Dang it. Rather than people. And... while women of all faiths or no faith are welcome to join, men are simply not allowed.
Huh.
So,
well, you can highfalutin non-women or non-men group.
And it's been a really helpful group to be a part of. Then there's Mormon Women for Ethical Government, and then there are different chapters, different areas. So there's one that's specific to Utah. So things like, oh my gosh, right now, today, we need to call because this is happening in this district, and just actionable items as well as awareness, and it's really great.
It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And nonpartisan, you said.
Correct.
Ethical.
Right, and against the current president, those feelings, that's what kind of spurred this.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But there are conversations on there that I have read that are very like, look, I voted for him and here's what I think. And they really do. They moderate the comments and call, remind people, we have to be productive in our conversation and be kind. So, yeah.
Oh, I'd like to check that out, but what God gave me won't allow me to. Time out. How many?
Time out. I just got a text from my property attorney. Did you see they accepted your counteroffer? So I guess my house is sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. Perhaps this was a case of getting caught, wait for it, red-handed. You've seen this story.
No, but I bet I know what it is.
Four suspects were arrested and cited for criminal mischief this last weekend.
And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for these meddling kids.
They painted the cougar statue outside of Lavelle Edwards Stadium the night before the BYU-Utah football game. The first game in Provo between the two schools since 2013. They said around 4:50 a.m., a student called police and reported seeing people painting the cougar statue, which is on the southwest corner of the stadium. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Normally, or in years past, on rivalry weekend, that is when the University of Utah plays BYU, they wrap the statues
in plastic,
in like big saran wrap.
Yep, to protect it.
But they didn't do it this year, apparently.
Well,
they located the suspects. Lieutenant Stephen Messick said.
Behind the bushes laughing?
No, in a vehicle with red paint on their hands.
Dripping from dripping a trail of red paint on the road.
A spray paint can. The suspects admitted to vandalizing the statue. They were cited for criminal mischief, and then they were released. By 11:30 a.m., grounds crew were finishing cleaning the statue. You can see pictures. Well, I'll have you get a picture for it and and put it up on the cultural halls.
You know what they should have done?
Yeah, tell me.
A coalition of college students plans to use Utah's football rivalry turned holy war and a time-honored tradition of campus pranks to make a joint political statement. This is obviously before last weekend's game. To bring attention to climate change, students from the University of Utah and Brigham Young University say they will light a giant purple Y in the mountains over Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo, making it visible during halftime of the BYU-Utah game. As a blend of red and blue, shorthand these days for Republicans and Democrats, as well as EU and BYU school colors, respectively, the color purple is meant as a call for bipartisan action on the issue, the coalition says. As students, we can show Democrats and Republicans that this isn't something that is partisan, that it's a people issue, said Nicholas Huey, co-founder of the Climate Campaign, a student-driven effort not officially affiliated with either of the two schools. He's an advertising student at BYU, and he said he wanted to use his training to depoliticize discussions about climate change. Mm. Democrats kind of own climate change right now, he said, and it's something that we conservatives can talk about it as well. So he approached U students with an idea for a joint campaign involving a series of pranks and counter pranks with a purple colored theme. BYU kicked off the initiative by leaving purple flowers on cars. Okay, that's not a prank. In the U parking lot, U students retaliated by adorning a U campus statue of Brigham Young with a custom painted football helmet and a climate change slogan. So we want to come together to show our representatives and senators that it's possible for the left and the right to meet. So good idea.
Yay.
Purple.
And I guess we got just one more article. I'm going to do this one right here, and then we'll wrap this sucker out. I guess that's what happens when we don't have you for a long time. We talk about this. No, it's great. And we read emails. But this guy, Lyle Winterton, he was at St. Thomas. Poor guy.
Mm.
And then Hurricane Irma hits.
Oh, yes, yes.
Really loves it. Really loved it there. Came home and he felt guilty for traveling to the Caribbean island and then coming home and not having to be a part of, like, you know, all the cleanup, right? Like, he just kind of took the beauty from the island.
Oh, right.
And now he's back and it's like, well, my house is fine. My life is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to theculturalhall.com, he is trying to raise money for the St. Thomas branch of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Oh, rad.
There's a GoFundMe set up, and as of Monday, so just a couple days ago, donors have given more than half the amount that he was looking to do, $10,000.
Wow.
He wrote that he'd woken up in tears Sunday morning because he was dreaming about the island, about the people there, about what they had to go through. And he says, we were freeloaders in a place where everybody had a devastating loss.
Yeah.
So he was able to get out. You know, now the cleanup is part of it. So if you want to help out members of the church there, You can certainly do that by going to theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. Make a donation there.
Way to get to work.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that those of you who weren't well enough to listen this week will be well enough to listen next week.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we read.